From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.
Welcome back to Postcard from Pop Red Bart. Two boys and girls, me, Eric Wiltshire, Lee Banks in the UK, and Mark with a poorly shoulder down in Paris, who's been operated on by the French system and is still in pain.
And I have nail in my foot and a broken back. I just thought I'd add that, ladies and gentlemen, as we're talking about him again.
Anyway, more hot news from the technology front, which we tried out a little while ago.
Yeah, really good, isn't it?
Thank you. See, yeah. Stop whinging.
Don't mean we have to talk about it for hours, though.
No, we don't. We're not going to. Skype 5.5 is coming out. It's kind of available-ish now if you know what the download link is, but your software probably won't tell you that it's ready yet, but you never know your luck. It is actually really, 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 really good. I'll tell you some of the things it doesn't like. It doesn't like the new Firefox like a lot of other software doesn't. No, it's not very compatible with it.
Mine's working perfectly, let me see.
Have you got it as well now?
I have.
Well, you downloaded 5.5.
I'm looking at it right now.
It's good, isn't it?
I'm just like the poor cousin, aren't I?
In it.
In it like being the poor cousin.
And we tried it with
nothing. I get nothing.
We tried it this morning in the office, and even Lee's. Well, I'll tell you what, Lee can comment.
Well, I will comment. What I'll say is, yeah, actually, Mark, it was brilliant. I could see Eric. He was going commando, and it was beautiful. It was like a high definition television screen, and he showed it me, and he said, "You'd look pretty good on here as well at the other end, you know, at his end." Mm-hmm. But the thing is, I said, "Well, why can't I?" He says, "You can't. It's not out yet." And wouldn't let me put it on my machine
because you'd have taken too long. It was 10 minutes before the show.
Yeah, you're both Skyped up to the eyeballs.
We are.
We're Skyped up, boys. I have to say, Skype, it's a very, very good thing. It works incredibly well.
Whatever
codecs you're using, thank you very much indeed. For anybody else, if you really, really want to get in there now, go to Skype.com. And go to the download page.
Right, I'm going
to
do it.
You have to put your... No, because you'll disappear off, Lee. Don't go.
Yeah, don't do it right now.
Yeah. God, he's gone. but go across to the download page. You have to put your name and password in to be able to download 5.5. It's well worth it. It's very, very good software.
Tell me what my password is, Eric.
Oh, not again. Here we go. Anyway... staying with technology for a bit. BT have been ordered to block links to Newsbin, the website, because that's a place where people were downloading films. What do we think?
I think that they should be stopped from downloading films for nothing. Yeah. It's such a rip-off. This it's just a rip-off. We rip everybody off. Everybody gets ripped off because of this stupid internet web thing.
Yeah, and?
And what? I just had a rant because I haven't got anything to say.
We've been through this.
Download films for nothing.
Oh, yeah. But on the other side of the fence...
And for something like BT to actually be making a profit out of it, it's absolutely disgusting. People download films that people have spent millions of pounds on making and put their heart and soul into it. Mm-hmm. They get nothing for it. People don't pay anything for it. And BT make a profit!
No, BT are not making a profit out of that. It's just because naughty people are using their internet service providers to go to a site.
Well, they will make a profit because they're using up their download allocation and they're paying for downloads. So actually, they're likely to benefit.
No, I don't buy into that because the amount you can download these days doesn't make any difference. And it also begs the question, because BT are not fighting it. I'm sure they're quite happy with this scenario because, as you said quite rightly, Mark, there'll be less people using the internet, therefore their download, and so capacity's helped out a little bit. What somebody hasn't explained to me yet is what happens if the really, really bad people use a VPN service, which is a virtual private network, to log on via France or Germany or somewhere and carry on even though they're in a BT network.
Oh. That's
well, I'm quite technological, but I don't understand it at all. But
I don't understand it at all.
I mean, I think I personally think the real reason why BT is happy about this judgment and doesn't want to appeal it is because it's they can say that it's got nothing to do with them and they're just following the court order. And that means that all the people who are going to get up screaming say, you're interfering with our rights, because, you know, an enormous number of people who download files for some or other seem to think that it's contrary to human rights not to be able to access the internet completely freely.
What is wrong with the human race that you could think, let's just rip people off? It's our human right to rip people off.
I'm afraid that that's a bit the thinking. And, of course, the other thing is that if BT had done this voluntarily, you could imagine that they would be taken down by 4chan or by Loops or something like that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Or Anonymous. Now they could just say, don't blame us, blame the judge, and here's his email address.
Yeah, don't blame me, Gov.
Not my fault, innit?
Okay, well, sorry about that, boys and girls. Now, this probably isn't going to happen till later on in the year. I think it's October, November time, where everybody's got to go back to court to find out how this is going to be implemented. So, you know, I'm saying no more. This story makes me angry.
Don't be angry.
I am angry.
I am as well, actually. Because I'm self-righteous.
I'm angry. And do you know why?
Go on, then.
I come and live in Slovakia.
Yeah.
I don't demand that there should be a Church of England church down the road for me. Yeah. I don't demand that they should change all the laws of Slovakia to English laws for me. And if I want to go out shopping, I have to learn a level of Slovak so I can go out and do my shopping.
Yeah.
I don't think it's acceptable that an Islamic extremist can set up Sharia law control zones in British cities. Mm. I'm appalled.
I honestly agree in principle with what you're saying, but I do want to just throw a little bit of sort of left-wing politics into this.
Mm.
You know, these people are over here. That doesn't mean that just because you've moved from one country to the other that you have to divest yourself of all that was precious to you before, whether it's your religion, the way you dress, your language, and everything like that. And if we are actually making capital out of not this particular person, obviously, but out of these people being over here, then we should allow them, if they want to have their own representations and their own ideologies and everything. We have no right to take those away from them. Well, having said that, I agree with you. I think it's despicable.
Right. Well, Lee, I agree with you that
I've gone both ways, Mark.
Well, no, I think if people want to come over to the United Kingdom or to go to any other country, I think that they should be entitled to keep their own values and their own systems and this sort of thing on an individual basis. Okay, on an individual basis. So, if people want to wear a veil, or if they want to abstain from alcohol or cigarettes or whatever their particular personal religious belief requires, then they're entitled to do that. Mm-hmm. But in terms of saying this is an area where there will be this rule of law in existence, I think that's not acceptable at all. I can't imagine anybody really saying it would be acceptable. Let me say that I don't think that this is a really serious attempt to impose Muslim Sharia law on particular areas of the United Kingdom. No, I think this is just a downright piece of challenging, provocative nastiness, which is really just intended to stir up relations even further and really to pursue...
And excite the Daily Mail.
To excite them all. And really, I think, to pursue the objectives of, for instance, Al-Qaeda without necessarily actually bringing death and destruction, but still bringing the same kinds of pressure. And I think it's a very nasty. I think it has to be dealt with very, very carefully, incidentally.
But if it wasn't Anjem Chowdhury who was doing this, right, would it be wrong for any section of the community to say that where they live, they don't want gambling, they don't want loud music or concerts, they don't want pornography, they don't want prostitution, they don't want drugs, they don't want smoking, and they don't want alcohol. If it wasn't him, the hate preacher of the UK, Anjem Chowdhury, who was demanding this and setting this up, would their demands really be wrong? Wouldn't it not just be more of a discussion document so, well, we can see how you feel about these things? It is a bit jingoistic, if that's the right word, which Mark will correct me on, because he always corrects me on words that I say.
Nothing to correct, though. I think you're right.
No, I've got a huge problem with this. I really have.
I have as well,
so,
yes.
So far, there's reportedly 10,000 posters and 50,000 stickers that are going to be put up by a banned organisation. And don't forget, Chowdhury's organisation is a banned militant group, and I'm not even going to name it. And therefore, what gives them the right to go and do something when they are already so far outside the law that they've been banned as an organisation? They're now going to cost the taxpayer shed loads of money because the councils have got to go around and take all these posters down, probably repair paint where they've ripped the paint off, etc., etc. So it's going to cost you, the taxpayer, shed loads of money so somebody can try and get a headline in a newspaper. I think that's just totally unacceptable.
I see it from your side. I tend to agree. I'm just trying to offer a sort of voice of reason on it. That if it was any other organisation that was that had done it, there wouldn't necessarily be this outcry. And that, just bear in mind, this is what the organisation said. And I'm not defending them at all. I'm not naming them the same as you. I'm not defending them. But what they say is this. This is the best way for dealing with drunkenness and loutishness, prostitution, and the sort of thuggish life that you get in the British cities today. And in principle, they're not wrong.
Right. So is it? Would it? Okay. Let's just turn this around and see what happens. Okay. It's now a white organisation in the UK that said we should ban Muslim mosques in the UK, and they go around and put posters up. The argument would be racist, racist, racist straight away.
Absolutely, and it would be racist, and I would say that as well. Yeah, I agree with you. It is wrong. But this thing, yeah, I agree. Yeah, this shouldn't be allowed. It's the wrong organisation to bring this forward. Mm-hmm. It's the wrong person to bring this forward. It is incendiary, designed to be incendiary, and everything else. And it was an archetypal Daily Mail story. They would go for this, like, whatever that phrase is that I can't use on the air. They would do this, right?
Yeah.
But the principle, if you take away all the incendiaryism and all the tabloidness of it and boil it down to its basic things, we do live in a drunken, loutish, thuggish society.
Maybe we do, but there's a much greater principle, and that is that we have a democracy to lay down systems of law and to dictate law of particular areas nationally, and this is not a democratic organisation.
No, absolutely not.
Democratically, so they have no
but
right
if it was a protest by somebody else, we wouldn't be that bothered.
They have no right to make any rules in any area, however nice they are. Even if it says you've got to have flowers in your hair, you've got to sing, you've got to be happy, whatever it is, they have no right.
And Mr. Chowdhury, right. if you like this kind of law, why don't you go live in Iran?
No, much better than that. If you like this kind of law, Mr. Chowdhury,
well, live in Paris.
Then put yourself up for election. Try to get a party. Try to get a lot of other people who think similarly to you, and pass the laws to do it in Parliament. That's the way.
The problem is, you know, he'd probably win.
No, he would.
No, I tell you, there's a lot of very extreme people out there, Eric. You know it. And that kind of extremism that he's talking about is the thing that, like we say, the reason it's in the Daily Mail today is because of this incredible, ridiculously passionate, wildly obtuse and stupid attitude that people have in Britain. People would vote for him, and that would be the danger.
Possibly. Possibly. Anyway, let's move on to some other idiots who've cocked it up completely. There's been a new report come out from Whitehall, which is the government main government departments in the UK, where certain large blue-chip companies have been charging more than 10 times the commercial rate for equipment, like up to £3,500 for a single desktop computer.
Shocking. Get the money back from them. There's absolutely no doubt in my mind.
I agree.
Just go in there.
That's nothing short of fraud.
Of course it's fraud, and that's one of
the
reasons
Britain's
in such a mess.
Yes, go back to the companies, seize the money, and make sure that every other company realises that if they try it, the money will be taken back from them as well.
Can I just chuck one into this? Chuck another into this, right? This is true. I only found this out yesterday, but the NHS, right, the National Health Service in Britain, have admitted that you can get a prescription for gluten-free bread, right, off your doctor. I can't remember what disease you've got to have gluten-free bread. The doctors, when they prescribe it to a patient, actually pay, listen to this, £32 for a loaf of gluten-free bread.
You are joking.
No.
That's obscene.
£2 in the supermarkets. Exactly. That's what's happening to the British economy. What's happening? We're doing ludicrous things like this. Are these just stupid mistakes that we're making? Has nobody caught on? £32 for a loaf of bread, or £3,500 for a PC?
Well, actually, I'm going to cut in there, Lee, because the trouble is, a lot of these people who work with this stuff probably think a computer is £3,500 and don't think about it. Go to Dixon's or PC World or any other supplier of equipment. And just walk in the shop, because you're probably not capable of going online to check the prices. Go into a shop and have a look.
Absolutely. And but why are government departments allowed to get away with this? You can't say it's just because these idiots working there. Of course there are idiots who are working there. But it's not the fact. Yes, there should be some control and there isn't. And that makes me wonder where the money's going.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
These civil servants, incidentally, are the same ones that are getting awarded £20,000 bonuses for their particular contribution to the civil service. Take the money back from them as well.
Absolutely. We move on. Fun story time. A kitten has survived an hour in Aberdeen in a washing machine spin dryer.
Well, that's a good one for No Panties Day, isn't it?
Oh, apparently Susan Gordon, the owner of Princess... said that the door was open, and as she opened the door up, it revealed her bedraggled cat clinging to some jeans. Oh dear.
Maybe we should get Sharia law to ban washing machines.
Well, absolutely. And good on Led Zeppelin's Robert Plant, who's helped towards £1,500 being raised for a Pick's disease support group over in Monmouth. I bet there's going to be some happy people with that when that turned up.
That's just off the road from me. No, he's done it, mate. He's done it.
Well, sorry, that's what I meant. Yeah. He's been down there and played in a village hall.
People say I look like Robert Plant, you know.
What, dead or alive?
Yes.
No, long curly hair and gorgeous.
There's an advert on English television for a shop that sells glasses. Direct them there.
Beer shop.
I think you're talking about your aspirational look, actually.
Yeah.
I don't think it's up to my ass, I tell you.
Anyway.
Airbrushing swiftly on.
Apparently.
I get laughs, you just get ohs.
Apparently the first Bond girl has died.
I know, poor old Bozzle. Yeah, she's gone, hasn't she? Yeah, Linda Christian. Do you remember Linda Christian?
Yes.
What else was she in? She was in some amazing stuff once. She was gorgeous.
Really?
In it.
Well, she's in...
I've never been in it.
That was smutty.
That wasn't smutty, that was just childish.
Yeah, very much so. Which Bond film was she in then?
Oh, why are you asking me?
Well, you're the film experts, I'm not.
Casino Royale, actually.
Oh, that was a good film, that.
Royale.
Was that the first one? Casino Royale? Was that the first? I used to smoke those. Was that the first?
Was, is there, but backwards,
yeah. Was that the first Basildon Bond film?
Basildon Bond. Oh, my word. It gets worse. Sorry, the jokes are really very, very quintessentially English. At the moment.
Well, that's it. Blackpool postcards. Postcard from Poprad. I can't help the fact that we're now foreigners.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you are.
Incidentally, I noticed, actually, that it wasn't a Bond film. It was a TV adaptation.
Which
I've never seen before, and I'd love to see that. So that must have been before any of the Bond films came out.
Could have been.
Uh-oh.
But now, guys...
It is in the first TV adaptation of Ian Fleming's debut novel, Casino Royale. Wow, 1954. I wasn't even born then.
Come on, guys.
How do you remember that, Mark?
Come on, guys. Come on, guys.
What are we doing?
Guys, come on!
Well, I tell you, I'm going to go directly to the Newsbin 2 website and see if I can find a copy. I don't do that at home, boys and girls.
No, don't. So come on, guys. Then just ask me, as a teenager, who went out with a Bond girl?
What you mean she was? Yeah, right. Carry on. You who went out with the Bond girl?
A mate of mine went out with a Bond girl, and with Tula, who was a transsexual, and he said that it was the first woman he'd ever met who they were able to talk about what it smells like inside a rugby changing room.
Oh, tumbleweed.
Tumbleweed buzz.
All right, sorry, I'm interrupted anyway.
Never mind. Anyway, Alison from my old mate over in Shillington, if you are listening to this, God help you. But thank you for knowing you, and because you did so well and became a Bond girl. Lovely lady she was. Where are we?
I went out with Flip Colby out of the What's It Dancers.
Was that with Thingamajig?
No, we only had a tootsome.
Oh, no, this is terrible. I can't cope.
You keep saying things that make me say things.
Right. Let's move on. We are running out of time. They sold their children for £4,000. Dollars.
Oh, we're getting on to non-serious stuff here. But yeah, no, I think this is terrible. Very quickly, it's what we've talked about before. We talked about it last week and the week before. Now we have a young Chinese couple who've sold all three of their children in exchange for cash to play online games at internet cafes. They sold the three kids for $4,000. I can't believe that this is going on in this world today.
Disgusting.
Still.
I can't either.
Disgusting. No. I hope it's an offence in China and that action's taken. I think it's gross.
I've got a funny feeling it will be, and I've got a funny feeling, yes, and I've got a funny feeling they won't be having a happy time now.
No, they shouldn't be either. It is absolutely disgusting. Yeah, it really is one of the worst things that the internet has introduced to this world.
And just to prove a point, how much we are balanced on this programme and how we are not at all sexist on this programme. It was a woman! It was a woman! It was a woman!
Oh, you silly girlie.
It was a woman!
She was a blonde as well.
Who are we talking about?
The next story!
Hey?
The next Which story. One? Gently Bentley.
Or Driver.
Oh, right. We're still on the Chinese story.
No, we've moved on. Apparently, a £700,000 five-car pile-up was as a result of a blonde lady. Yes. Lee, tell us more.
Well, yeah, I just think it's really... it's tragic. Yeah, this woman, right, blonde, right, really attractive, blonde, right, driving around the Place du Casino in wherever that is. Where's that?
Monaco,
that's it. Yeah, anyway, yeah, she was driving a Mercedes S-Class, which was worth $75,000, right? And she hit a Mercedes S-Class, sorry, worth $75,000, then went on to hit a Ferrari 430, then an Aston Martin Rapide, and then a Porsche 911. All in one, she was trying to park. She totaled nearly £1 million worth of cars.
I love it. I think that's wonderful. Go, girl, go, girl, go, girl. Oh, I'll tell you what, there's going to be some body shops out there that are going to be so happy.
These are quite normal driving standards for France, I can promise you.
Are they?
France has got the highest accident rate in the whole of Europe, and they kill more people on the road every day. Every year than any other country in Europe, and that's with a recent 25% decrease. And what is amazing to me is that I can remember about the big road accident day, by the way, is 15th of August, where everybody goes crazy. I'm not quite too sure why. And I can remember being in front of the television about four years ago at the end of that day, and they announced that day there had only been 69 people killed on the road that day. And nobody blinked. And if it happened anywhere else, it would be a major scandal. And, you know, it was never mentioned on the news again. It was just so normal.
Right. So, only place in it for driving.
I'll tell you, it's... yeah. I'll tell you a quick story about France. There's a very small kind of category of car that you can get, a bit smaller than a Mini, that you don't need any driving license. And they advertise those for rental for people who've lost their license. If you lost your license through drink driving or something like that, come and rent one of these ones and use it during the period of your disqualification.
Ah, magical.
Mm. Really?
Yes.
I kid you not.
Unbelievable. So how do you get it insured and things?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. That's all to do with the rentals price, I suppose. I've really no idea. Presumably, you can buy one.
Must do. Anyway, moving along to the Olympics, which is already becoming terribly boring. The news coverage is driving me nuts. Lee's found out a little human interest story.
I think it's really nice, yeah. Yes. Olympic champion. Yeah, it's a tramp who's in the running, apparently, now, to carry the Olympic torch on its epic journey to London, right? And it's a bloke, he's called Gordon Roberts, he's 82, he lives on the streets, and he spent 20 years just, you know... Anyway, there's become an internet campaign to make him the man who carries the Olympic torch for us. I think it's lovely. You know what he's famous for?
What?
You know what he's famous for? It comes from Bournemouth in Dorset.
Yeah.
Trampoline.
No. He's famous for always knowing exactly what time it is, despite the fact he never wears a watch. You know who else can do that?
No.
Me.
Really?
I never have a watch on, and I also... If I wake up in the middle of the night, Andrew will say, what time is it? Like that. And I know exactly what time it is. Just one of those funny things. Maybe I should be a tramp. Yeah, but that's it. Yeah, he's been made.
Maybe.
He's been going to be.
Maybe.
Could be.
Maybe.
Could be.
Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe you're an autistic genius.
I'm quite artistic, I must admit. We're geniuses sort of along those lines.
Autistic. Oh, dear. I can't believe this, but this guy in Essex who was, who was hit by a train at 100 miles an hour. Yeah.
And he was on a mobility scooter.
And he survived.
Incredible.
Yep.
If you were in a car and got hit by it, you'd be dead. I reckon we should all do what they do in France when you've been drinking, and we should all go out on mobility scooters because at least you'd be safe. Everybody on a mobility scooter, you notice everybody slows down and shows respect and everything and waits until there's proper time to overtake you and does that. If you're in a car, they're flashing the lights at you, swearing at you, flicking V's at you. We should all drive mobility scooters, and this story proves it.
Absolutely. And very, very quickly, we have to say congratulations to a motorcyclist who ploughed into the back of a minivan, went through the back window, ended up laying on the floor of the van, got away with it, and didn't even have a scratch. And the guy who was driving the truck didn't know about it either.
And the amazing thing is that the people who saw the crash happen, saw the motorbike run into the back of the van, right, looked around, the rider of the bike had vanished. They thought he'd gone under the van outside, they were looking for him in ditches and everywhere, before the police saying where he is, and he's sitting in the back of the car.
And that's it from Mark Gander in Paris, one of the two founders of the Consumer Action Group, Lee Banks in the UK, and me, Eric Wiltshire in Poprad. Time to say goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.